All right, Sports Meets Beer podcast episode 80. And boy, let me tell you, this is a milestone for a number of reasons. If this is your first time checking us out, please click on our social media and some previous episodes. That is Sports Meets Beer, M-E-A-T-S, just like it's spelled in the podcast here. That's Twitter, that is Instagram, that is Facebook, Untappd. Check them all out. The previous episodes are great. We used to do a player dedication for every episode. The player that was retired and wore the jersey that corresponded with the episode number was our go-to. Thanks to Apple, we can't do that because we were doing part one and part two of that episode. In this case, we need to do a player dedication, period. Yep. There's no question. I wanted to do it for episode 75 with Mr. Howie Long. We went to the board of directors. They said no. I'm going past them now. I'm going above them. I'm above the law at this point. We are calling in all stops, all the favors we have to dedicate this episode to the greatest wide receiver in football.
Greatest football player in the history of the league.
Yes, I didn't disagree with you.
13-time Pro Bowler, 10-time All-Pro, 3-time Super Bowl champion, Hall of Famer, 2-time AP Offensive Player of the Year, 207 career total touchdowns, 22,895 career receiving yards, 197 receiving touchdowns, averaged over 100 yards receiving in two seasons, over nine. It led the league in receiving yards per game in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seasons. Just ran the hill in San Francisco. One of the most in shape athletes that there's ever been, was committed to his task. In fact, on my own laptop, as I sit and read this, I will minimize all of the windows and I will look at a picture of this man that says, "Today I will do what others won't, so tomorrow I can accomplish what others can't." That is Mr. Jerry Rice, just one of the greatest to ever do it at any position in the
plain
league.
Plain and simple.
So episode number 80, player number 80. We don't have any chance to be as great as Jerry Rice was with this episode. No. We'll do what we can, though.
We'll do our best. We won't retire or we won't play for the Raiders. We all know that he had a good run with the Niners, but he made his mark as a Raider. Let's not debate that.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate. I mean, with the Raiders over the course of three seasons, he was 175, 210 receptions over four seasons with the Raiders.
Yeah, man, that's pretty big. Big numbers. Anyways, this episode dedicated to you, Mr. Jerry Rice.
5 touchdowns.
Someone just rolled up really quick up front, just so you know. I don't know if it's anything dedicated or here, but some dumb fuck was just walking by the window about 10 seconds before that, jumping up and down like an idiot trying to distract us. See, it didn't affect me whatsoever.
I'm very impressed.
Radio chops, baby, right there.
All right, let's talk about this beer. So before we jump into this next beer, I wanted to just take a second and convey something that we are excited about.
Yes.
We spokespeople now. I don't know if you saw that on the old Instagram this week, but I had the chance to meet with a local sales rep, a guy from a company called Furno Grills, which is a gas-powered grill, but conceptually is pretty cool in terms of, raising and lowering your heat levels. It kind of takes what the Santa Maria grill is and applies it to something way more efficient and way better. And so I got a chance to see the equipment this week. I haven't had a chance to cook on it yet. I'm going to be doing that pretty quick here, but you can rest assured that there is going to be some video content coming out from Sports Meets Beer. We're going to be using these Furno grills to kind of showcase some of what those grills themselves can do, what some of our barbecue prowess is. The reality is we're Sports Meets Beer and we're just laying it all out there. People, we've had a hard time getting a lot of food content out there. We never really set out to be a cooking show, but in a lot of these things, man, the information for food is there's not a lot of food news to report, really.
No breaking news on.
So we're going to be putting some video content out there. We're going to get a chance to work with the Furno Grills. It's a Bay Area based startup. just starting to get going in the Bay Area, getting going in California. And we're excited to be a part of the growth of the Furno brand. So check us out for that. You can check out the link. We're going to be posting that on our Facebook page here pretty quick. Check that out. Look for, you know, our, you know, Instagram Live, Facebook Live. I'm sure there's going to be some YouTube stuff going on moving forward. And we're looking forward to a nice little partnership there with Furno. It'll be a good time.
I think the coolest part about this opportunity for us, obviously Brad knows his way around a grill. He's a barbecue, award-winning barbecue pit master, owns a restaurant, the whole deal. But I think the biggest part, the most impressive part about these Furno grills is the fact that it's like a backyard buffoon like myself. The appeal of this is so user-friendly that it's not just like a professional application. So we're giving this an endorsement just because we've partnered up with them, and we're going to work on this. So hopefully we're going to show you some high caliber cooking and also some basics, I think the key thing, so that, you know, the backyard guy who's just, you know, doing chicken thighs like myself and stuff like that, it doesn't get scared away from something like this. So
no, good times. I think
it's cool. Yeah. We're going to check it out. So let's jump into our beer segment.
Okay.
Well, let me tell you about this beer, why it's special.
Yeah.
This is from the Lagunitas Brewing Company. Born yesterday, pale ale.
Perfect.
The reason that this beer is so special is that the day that this beer is bottled and kegged, it is delivered and tapped in at a number of locations, all of which could be found on the lagunitas.com/beers page. But this is a task that is needs a lot of hands on deck to make it happen. The distributor is crucial in getting these out. Just to give a little perspective, there was about roughly about 200 accounts delivered in one day.
I represent three of them. Thank you for doing that. It was very exciting for us.
So about 200 accounts delivered, about 1,700 cases, 1,500 cases roughly delivered, in about 38 kegs, 15.5 kegs. So a lot of beer goes out. This beer, it's one of the things that, as you mentioned, we were talking on episode 79 about the culture of Lagunitas and what they're about. That's why this makes this beer so special, is that it gets out so quickly. The beer is literally fresh off the line. In fact, when we got the first case sampled, we grabbed the case off the pallet and snuck it in the sales room. We started drinking it as we're making our plans for the day of where to go and what to deliver to. We looked at the code dating on the bottle, and I literally had the 11th bottle.
That's of that awesome. Batch.
It was pretty cool. We're digging through the box, and unfortunately, we weren't the first 8 or 9 bottles went somewhere else. They didn't wind up in that case, but it's pretty cool.
That is cool.
So special beer. I love the fact that it's a pale ale, not an IPA. But this is, you know, what's commonly referred to as a wet hop beer, right? So we're talking fresh hops.
Mm-hmm.
The other iteration of this would be the Born Again Yesterday. We essentially take the same hops.
Born Again Tomorrow, Yesterday, Today, next week.
Sounds like a bad movie title. But it's it basically, you take those same hops. We cryogenically freeze them, like just like Walt Disney.
Ted Williams' head.
Yeah. And so we do that, and then those beers are beers made. That's earlier in the springtime. But this beer is unbelievable. 7.2% ABV. It comes in, if we go
big
through,
for a pale ale.
Oh, absolutely.
Big for a pale ale. Mosaic hop. That's the first thing I smell when I took a big whiff of this beer.
I need to do a quick fact check to make sure my ABV is right.
It is 7.2.
Okay.
It was on the label.
Perfect. Sorry. It makes editing so much easier when I note it down.
Yeah, no problem.
It is big for a pale ale. You're absolutely right. But yeah, when you dive into this AATMF, the first thing that you get, and you mentioned before, is that mosaic hop.
Mm-hmm.
It's a popular hop right now. I mean, it's really balanced. It offers a great amount of citrus. Still has some awesome bittering qualities to it, but ultimately this is a hoppy beer. So if you don't like hops, if you're not a bitter person and you're still you know, jumping around in the Goza or the Sours and you really like Pilsners, then this is not for you.
No.
If you like getting hit over the head with a hop hammer, this beer is for you. This is like I like to tell people, like, our Hop Stupid beer is really, really bitter. That's, you know, 91 IBUs in that beer.
Yeah.
I don't even list IBUs. I think quite honestly, this thing goes right past the lab. I don't even test it, to be perfectly honest, to like get all the gravity and everything out of it to see what it truly ranks in at. Let's see the beer specs. Yeah, IBUs listed as high.
But that's what it says?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Go figure us. Anyway, yeah, this is it's a beer that I'm obviously tied to, not only because I work for the company, but I've been a part of that growth and a part of that distribution of delivering kegs and stuff for years. So this is always, it's a special place for me. But if you go through the AATMF on this, you know, the aroma, as we mentioned, very hoppy, very wet, very dank.
Yep.
Everything you could expect out of a real resiny beer. Yes. You know, the tie is so close to marijuana. It's such a, you know, the hop flower is a distant cousin. Yep. Of the cannabis leaf. So you get so much of that dark, deep roots of just a big sack of weed. And that's what you're looking for in this.
Yeah, it's mosaic hop. There's, you know, pineapple is the fruit note that I get in just mildly in the nose, but I get it in the mouthfeel, like, and in the initial flavor on my tongue is pineapple. Fresh, bright pineapple.
Totally get that. The acidity level is what it is. It's bringing it up.
Yeah. And then there, for as carbonated as this is and for as dry as this finishes, there is like some, and just probably due to the booziness of it, the 7.2%, there is like a little bit of like it coats my tongue nicely. And the pineapple really sort of sits there on my tongue in a way.
Yeah.
Pleasantly. I don't want to give the impression that like it's sticky or cloying or anything like that. It's not. It's great.
I think also too, just as a footnote, it's not only is it Mosaic hop, it's also Citra and Simcoe. Mm-hmm. There's 11 pounds of hop per keg.
Good God.
So that's obviously the wet hop does not yield as much as the dry hop does, or pelletized hops. But this thing, man, it's worth the investment, is what my gut is telling me.
Yeah, it is a very nice beer. I think this beer is great.
Such a nice boy.
And it, you know, it's interesting. This beer isn't even in the second day. I can tell this beer it's not as bright as it was when I tasted it because it got delivered to the pub on Monday morning at, you know,
probably 10 a.m.
Yeah, like 9:45. And so we tapped it at 10 and I tasted it immediately at 10 and it smelled dankier and brighter.
You know what's crazy? You're getting a stuffed up nose right now. But ever since we took a sip of this beer, you're getting a little stuffy. Have you noticed that?
No.
You sound like you're getting stuffed up right now.
Really?
Breathe in for me. No, maybe not. The reason I say that, a lot of people have an allergic reaction to hops. I know one guy that works for another brewery out of Chico that has a hard time.
What a douche. Sorry, was that another response you were going for?
Sorry.
Might dump that. Who am I kidding? Anyways, yeah, taste. I mean, you get hop. Bomb. We talked about the pineapple. We talked about the citrus. So I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. I would say like it's almost like the fruity resin, pleasurable. Like almost think of like remember like when you get the fruit snacks like the kids eat, right? And I don't know if you do, like I do. The best part about that, one of the best reasons for having kids is you get to have kid snacks in the house all the time. So I'll eat some of those fruit snacks and you get like the flavor combination of like the, you know, the cherry pineapple flavors. And every once in a while it sits for a little bit and it's a pleasurable, like you finally get a good mix. Like, oh, it's like when you hit two or three good Jelly Bellies together, right? I was like, oh, that flavor profile works.
Yes.
It's exactly what it tastes like. So it's got the sweetness. It's got the dank and the sticky of the hop, but the hop isn't overwhelming and the fruit isn't overwhelming. It's both, and it works really well together, dances well together. And then on top of that, the finish of this thing, the mouth feels smooth. Water principles are there. It finishes great. And for being 7.2 and extremely high IBUs, it doesn't sit on your palate very long.
No, the carbonation level in this is great. Goes down nice. Makes you want to go in for another sip. As with all Lagunitas beers, it seems, all Lagunitas beers of this kind of style, it seems it goes down really easy and makes you want to go back in, and that makes it like inherently dangerous. You know, everybody says that, ooh, that beer's trouble. That beer's dangerous. I'm sure in your, all of your sales calls, you're hearing people make that comment a lot.
Yeah, for sure. No,
it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a great thing.
Well, it's tough to have a real crushable or easy drinking 7% beer.
Right.
You're asking at that point to have problems with it, especially, and one of our retailers, first thing he's like, he offers a 30 ounce beer, or 28 ounce beer versus a 16. He's like, pints only. I mean, number one for the cost, but number two, because you're talking about like $11, 28 ounce beer, but also just for the alcohol effect and how easy it is to drink. So, good one, obviously. Gets my support.
Yeah.
And that's not just because they signed the check, bro.
Awesome. Let me grab the next beer.
Yeah, please do.
All right.
Recording. All right. Well, that was, I don't even say anything. Next up on the docket today would be a beer from Firestone Walker. This is the Leo Ursus series, which leads me to another question. Are you going bear or are you going lion in that fight? Who's winning? I'm lion all the way.
I think
bear is mighty and powerful and all those things. I think the agility of the lion simply overpowers the bear.
Yeah, and I also think like the pride of lions. The fact that there's multiple lions typically laying around. Hold on.
It doesn't say Leo's versus Ursus. It says Leo versus one. Mano y mano.
Right.
Lion-o versus, not Lion-o from Thundercats. Lion versus bear. We can debate this at a later date. We can drink this beer first, and then we can discuss it later over a gin martini.
I also think I have to go lion, by the way.
Perfect.
All right. So, yeah. So Leo V. Ursus, this is a series that Firestone Walker's putting out, quietly, maybe not even quietly because we've talked about it, but I think over the, 3 years we've been doing this podcast now, Firestone Walker has sort of worked its way into being one of our favorite beer breweries to review on this show.
Well, this series especially, it's funny. I get a little anticipation every time I try it because I think if you go back to all of our reviews, I think there's only one that we didn't care for, one or two.
Yeah.
And this is probably number 16 out of the gate. So I think that's a pretty good number in my opinion.
The Luponic Distortion brand series has been great. All these Leo V. Ursus beers for the most part have been good. Luponic has number 11 is out now. Just came out. So I'm looking forward to trying that hopefully next week on the show. Hopefully we get our hands on some for next week. But this one is the...
And we're looking at you, Firestone.
Yeah. Justin Brown. This is the Doubless. Are you looking at the little description right there, Ben?
I am. We are looking at a double IPA, 9.5%.
Ooh.
Which... Holy cowabunga. Yeah. This does not drink like... I mean... Let's go through this properly. AATMF it. I'm an AATMF this thing up.
Yeah.
Light in body, light in color, very not a double IPA SRM standards, right? So the color. This looks like just like a pale lager. It looks really light in color, which is so deceptive. So deceptive.
Coppery. Yeah.
I don't even really get much copper, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I get like a maybe light, really, really, really faint copper.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, this looks like a really standard pale ale. It falls into that color wheel. Aroma on this thing, you get hop. Hop flavor, little sweetness, nothing over the top special.
I actually find the nose to be underwhelming.
Yeah. Very restrained. But then you get into the taste. Now, I mentioned that this goes back to that 9.5%. The taste is nothing like the aroma, which usually does a beer disservice. Mm-hmm. Normally, you want that to have a nice marriage. You want it to taste. You're going to taste that beer with your nose then before you taste it with your palate. in this case, it's like you said, nose is underwhelming. Then you get into the beer, and holy moly, it does not taste like a 9.2.
No.
Until it sits on your palate for a little bit. And then it has that dry, a real dry burn.
It's maltier. It's maltier than I thought it was going to be. There's a toasty, bready sort of like.
It tastes like toasted sourdough bread.
Yep. Just the crust, though.
Real thick, crunchy crust.
Yeah. There's nothing really danky about this. There's nothing really bright hop. It's bittering hop is the only thing that I really get about this. There's nothing.
Yeah, the hops aren't terribly green, right? So for that brightness. I think that this is. I think there's a faint amount of citrus in this, and with it you get.
I don't get a ton of citrus.
No, I didn't say a ton. It's faint, real, real light. It's mainly in the finish, not a lot in the taste portion of it. But if you go through that taste, mouthfeel, finish portion, so you taste it, it does have the, you know, great beer flavor. You're getting the hops. You know, when you first taste it to when you finish, the hop level doesn't go up. It doesn't get more intense as the longer it sits on your palate.
The drier and more bitter it gets, longer it sits on your palate.
But yeah, you definitely feel the dryness. You definitely get the alcohol, that alcohol burn, right?
The citrus that you're talking about, this lingers very mildly in the way that the citrus lingers in a poorly made hot toddy. Like, it's...
Well, you know, let's get two hot toddies over here, please. We need a comparison. Make one good and make one really bad.
Well, just like the lemon was waved around in the area of this beverage. Like, that's kind of the note I get.
Some guy went and took a dump in the employee bathroom and sprayed the lemon Airwick.
Yeah, and there's also like grapefruit pith, like just the white pith. There's not any of the flesh or even the sweet rind. It's just that bit, like there's just like that grapefruit bitter white pith.
Yeah.
That's I get.
That's a great call. That's a really good call. I think it's good. This to me.
I don't like it.
Yeah, it's not the best one they've come out with. I think they're swinging too big with a double. I think they need to keep it single.
Do you feel like, when you say that, do you feel like that this is a swing and a miss for them on this particular beer? Or do you think that the doubles in general
are doubles in general are tough? That's a tough beer. I mean, that's especially, you know, now that we have, you know, laptops in our hands at all times with our phones, you know, the double IPA is, it's very much.
Pistol grip pump in my hands at all times.
There you go. It's the consumer is more informed, and I think you brand something a double IPA and people expect truly that they want, just like we've been telling, the beer industry has been telling people that a session IPA is going to be an IPA and a half.
Right.
Right. Now a double therefore should be doubled of everything. Mm-hmm. Should be even more extreme. And it's, when you say double IPA, you're either going to the guy who's just become an IPA guy and goes, well, you know, if a little is good, a lot's better. And tries it, he's going to be disappointed or not like it. And then the people who are extreme IPA fans who want that hop bomb, this is not going to be enough. It's not hoppy enough.
Well, and it's interesting.
So it's this weird, it falls in this weird category between the two.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, as the craft beer industry has evolved, I think that, you know, part of the reason why we're seeing these, you know, hazies become so popular is because the mouthfeel makes them muted. It mutes a lot of so it makes them simpler, even though the alcohol level is there. And it used to be where, you know, people are like, oh, I want these doubles and triple IPAs. That's the style of beer that I like. And that's just the way that it went. And now there are so many other things out there. And so many bars and restaurants aren't serving doubles because I would much rather serve you four of these than just one or two.
Right.
So they're just not nearly as available. So I think you're right. It does feel to me as both a consumer and a retailer, it feels to me like a risk to be doing a lot of double IPAs these days. Imperials, doubles, that kind of thing. You know, we haven't.
You have to realize you're making that for a very small percentage of your base.
That's what they're doing here. I don't think it's a.
Well, they clearly bamboozled us. We're gonna try. They could have said anything on there. We're gonna try it because we've liked what they've done before.
Right, and and that's kind of the point that I'm making is that, you know, it's not an at bat not worth taking, right? It's an at bat worth taking. They just happen to have maybe fouled this one off instead of, you know, hit it out of the park. That's kind of the point.
Even getting on base. I think I think of this, you know, the thing here's the my ultimate word on this. I think the beer's good. It's balanced, and it offers everything that you would want a double IPA to be for most people. I think that most people that are huge double IPA fans already, this is like goes back kind of like our Goza conversation, right?
About
if you already are a fan of that category, you know what to expect. And someone, this is probably a great double IPA for someone who doesn't know a lot about double IPAs yet, because they went away for such a long time. For people who have the chops, and it's just falling a little short, in my opinion. I think but it is a good beer. I wouldn't necessarily order it again, but I think it's a fine beer. It's a good beer.
My daddy was a fine gal. I want this, before I agree with you in that regard, I want this to have a more complex nose. Before I agree with you in that regard, I think this is missing
like
something.
Like a rhinoplasty nose, or
yeah, exactly.
I want my left nostril to go to the right side of my brain.
Yeah, but I want this to smell more intense, and it's just not there.
I agree.
Before I agree with you in terms of like it being good. It's not the best beer that they've put out in this series. I'm disappointed with it.
No,
to be totally honest with you. But
well,
that's
I guess
it.
I think
it's 3:30 in the morning. We got to be at work in 20 minutes.
Yes,
it's.
I think to your point though, if this beer was not under this series, it'd probably get it would be a good beer. We would probably like it more. But this, they've set the bar very high. They've made some very good beers, and I think this doesn't quite meet the caliber of what they normally put out.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's a fair assessment. I think I would be, if I didn't know what this was, I'd be like, well, what are they trying to accomplish here? Right, that, you know, that would be my question. Like, what is this? You know, it doesn't have any of the, you know, as Ben slides it across the table, it doesn't have any of the notes of a double or an imperial that we've grown accustomed to.
Right.
And maybe that's just the fault of the industry or our own palates. Right, that could be, I guess.
Maybe we've bastardized our own palates, but either way.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's wrap this up. Two beers in for the night. It's late. We both got kids to...
sportsmeatsbeer@gmail.com. That's M-E-A-T-S, meats like the protein. sportsmeatsbeer@gmail.com. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all of that good stuff. Be sure to check out our sponsor, Advanced Auto Glass and Detail. And also... check out Furno Grills, this new little partnership thing we got going on. I don't know if we can necessarily call them directly a sponsor, but it's a partnership. We're going to be doing some cool stuff with them, and you should definitely check out what they have to offer in terms of their grills. They got some cool stuff coming down the line. So anyway, sports meets beer. Until next time, Benjamin Perry.
Wait till they see the size of my thighs on that grill.
Ooh.
Too much?
No.
Not enough.
Just took me a minute to think about it. Bye.